The audio tape you are about to hear was secretly recorded during an executive joint session of Congress and smuggled out of the House chamber by a congressional page working his way through journalism school, moonlighting as a transvestite model for a combination escort service and GOP publishing house known as Buff Pages Bound in Leather.
Mr. Speaker! Mr. Speaker! Mr. Speaker, it is my distinct honor and rare privilege to present to you someone who quite literally needs no introduction. He's known to us all as the star of the crucifixion and the book of Revelations, and as a trustworthy and tireless friend to this house. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Galilee in the Holy Land, please join me in giving a warm welcome to the one, the only, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Or perhaps you would prefer to be called by your Hebrew name, Joshua ben Joseph.
Call me anything you like, just don't call me late for the Last Supper. But hey, good evening, ladies and Gentiles. It's great to be back here in D.C., or as we refer to it up in heaven, the gateway to Gomorrah. I gotta tell you, I just crossed the Mediterranean and the Atlantic to get here, and boy, are my feet tired, huh? But seriously, folks, I could use a little snack. Where do you guys keep the pork barrel anyway, huh? Just kidding. I never touch the stuff myself, although a boyfriend of mine tells me the chef at Gitmo makes a mean BLT. Hey, settle down out there, fellas. I said boyfriend. Jeez. I'm not into boys. Not that there's anything wrong with that, as my friends in the clergy are quick to point out. Look, all I can tell you is, if I even thought about having sex with a man, my old man would have killed me. Thou shalt not lie with mankind. It is an abomination, was his motto. Notice that my father never said anything about it being an abomination to lie to mankind, only with him. I think his choice of preposition is key here. After all, how can he expect you, his faithful shepherds, to keep your ever-growing herds of brain-addled human livestock in line if he's going to make a fuss about it every time you run a few monumental whoppers up the flagpole, huh? Forget about it! But getting back to the whole sex thing, it's not just men and boys I'd stay away from if I were you. Women are just as bad. The thing is, they're not kosher. What, are you kidding me? It's right there in the book of Genesis. Women are made out of ribs. So, let's review. Sex with men? Bad. Sex with women? Also bad. So what's left? Sex with animals. Don't even think about it. I got my boy Rick over there holding the keys to the zoo. So don't be getting any bright ideas. Trust me, the guy's got the eyes of a hawk, the ears of a bat, and the nose of a bloodhound. Come to think of it, I'm betting his extended family tree looks a lot like a four-handed game of Animal Lotto. Funny thing is, even though Rick never seems to stop reading the Bible, he still gets a little confused about Scripture from time to time. Just last week, he was reading in Leviticus that it behooves a man to cleave unto his lawful wife. But when he stood up in church on Sunday to recite the same passage, he tried to tell the congregation that, quote, it is lawful for a man to choose a wife whose hooves be not cloven. I'm still not sure if it was an honest mistake or if he was just kidding around. Hard to say, because he and I are always trying to get each other's goat, huh? Huh? Hey, let me take a moment to introduce a guy who's been with me literally since the day I was born. The oldest musician on the planet, except for maybe the Stones. The Rum-Pum-Pumpkin himself. All the way from Bethlehem, the little drummer boy, huh? Huh? Say, getting back to dietary prescriptions, how do you get an Islamic fundamentalist to grab a handful of pork? Start feeding this Quran to your pot-bellied pig. I get the herbs. Hey, is that my buddy Denny over there? What you up to these days anyway, huh? 310, 320? You know, when Denny heard Saddam Hussein was trying to buy yellow cake from some guys in Niger, he agreed to okay the deal as long as Saddam let him lick the frosting off the top. I kid Denny. He knows I love him. By the way, pal, you can expect a little visit from the Truth Fairy tonight. You know how she works, right? You just gather up any scraps of truth you still have in your possession, place them in the matchbox under your satin pillow, and while you're in dreamland log-sawing your way along the steam table at Hometown Buffet, she'll swing by and exchange it for a nice bag of silver, like the one I gave you backstage. Hey, if you think I'm making this stuff up, just ask your buddy Tom over there. Tom used to be good friends with the Truth Fairy. I say used to because he's having such a hard time filling up his matchbox lately. He's lucky if she leaves him a roll of pennies, huh? But you know the real beauty of using the Truth Fairy as a lobbyist? She can never be forced to testify before the House Ethics Committee. And why is that, you ask? Because she doesn't exist, you schmuck. Come to think of it, neither does the House Ethics Committee. Anyway, getting back to this building. First, let me say, as a carpenter, I love what you've done with the space. You've managed to take an elegant but unpretentious den of thieves and mold it into a house fit for my father. I love it! You know, even with the installation of those 7-ton onyx tables in the foyer engraved with the Ten Commandments and the gilded marble crucifixes looming over the aisles, the place still retains the delicate ambiance of a frontier bordello. It strikes just the right note. In fact, it puts me in mind of what my publicity agent John once quoted me as saying, "Make not my father's house into a house of merchandise." Actually, what I said was, "Make not my father's house into a house of cheap merchandise." So take my advice and stay away from that Walmart crap. It falls apart quicker than a bipartisan coalition. Which brings up the subject of being misquoted, a pet peeve of mine. For example, I supposedly said in the book of Matthew, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I ask you, would I have said anything that ridiculous if I was even halfway sober? What am I, an idiot? What I actually said was, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall collect a lot of dirt." More to the point, I inserted a codicil which read as follows: "In all cases, the original leaseholder shall retain mineral rights to said property." Let's get real here. I mean, if the meek really want to inherit the earth, for God's sakes, let them get full-time jobs and buy it one cubit at a time. What are we here, a charity? And here's another quote from Matthew that's even more misleading. "And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." What I really said was, if you're the CEO of a multinational corporation engaged in the garment trade, and some pathetic pissant brings a frivolous lawsuit against your company claiming his 6-year-old daughter developed carpal tunnel syndrome from working 13 hours a day at an industrial sewing machine, you're fully justified in unleashing a team of attorneys to take the bastard to the cleaners, rip the shirt off his back, brand his shoulder with a red-hot iron, and douse the birds with rubbing alcohol. And if he ever tries to do it again, my advice is to kill him. And for heaven's sakes, don't worry about the legal ramifications. I can assure you that at least 5 of the last 7 Supreme Court justices you guys have confirmed in recent years have already handed down legal opinions from the bench that offer justification for such killings under the heading of self-defense. So relax already, huh? And speaking of killing, You guys have been doing a reasonably good job in Iraq and Afghanistan so far, but you need to speed things up. At the rate you're going, it's going to take you decades to kill all those pesky infidels. And don't forget to pay special attention to the women and children. After all, where do you think adult male terrorists come from? Hello? But since you guys are always claiming to get your marching orders from yours truly, listen up. While I approve of most of what this administration and the current congressional leadership is doing, you guys clearly have your heads up your asses when it comes to some of the details. For instance, about your plans to promote abstinence-only sex education in the schools as the surest means of preventing teenage pregnancies. My mother wanted me to remind you brainiacs that it didn't work out all that well in her case. So you might want to rethink that one. Duh. And hey there, mister. I'm running the show from behind the scenes in the underground bunker of my undisclosed location.
Oh, my God. He brought the shotgun.
Look out.
Stop.
Where?
Look, maybe you should... Look, maybe you should suggest to your little buddy George that he not go around telling everyone that my father wants all the people of the world to be free. Frankly, that's exactly what he doesn't want. That's why we refer to it as the Kingdom of Heaven and not the Republic of Heaven, if you catch my drift. All this sentimental hogwash about democracy is nothing but a waste of time, if you ask me. You guys should have hanged that hockey puck Jefferson from the nearest tree and fallen in line behind King George III. Sure, he was mentally defective, but he's no worse than the jackass you got right now. Hey, thanks. You've been a great audience, huh? The chair recognizes the honorable member from Michigan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, Mr. Ben Joseph, I wish to offer you my sincere thanks for braving the arduous journey all the way from the Middle East to speak to us here this afternoon. Having said that, I respectfully submit to you the following question. As someone who has devoted a good deal of time over the years to studying your teachings and having discovered in them a profound source of inspiration in my own life, I find it more than a little perplexing to hear you now contradicting, revising, and redacting for the record so much of what you are quoted as having spoken in those sacred texts. Unless I seriously misinterpret the message you have laid before us today, I gather that you are anti-gay, anti-woman, anti-poor, anti-child, and anti-peace. In fact, with all due respect, sir, you appear to be anti-life itself. What explanation can you offer us regarding this all but complete inversion of the message contained in the Gospels? How can you be so anti-this and anti-that?
Funny you should ask me that.
Messiah Speaks to His Congressional Fan Club was produced and directed by Kurt Kearns. It was introduced and written by Mark W. Bradley. The voices of the Holy Messiah, congresspersons, and Beelzebub were performed by Christopher. This has been a Big Backyard Bad Jazz production. Copyright 2006, Mark W. Bradley.